So one of the things I've wanted to do, as well as having these talks that we've had, is to just have people from within the congregation say, this is what prayer means to me. Because we're doing this together. We're journeying on this together. And so we're going to start with Nick. Nick, do you want to come out? Nick Duggan. Let's welcome Nick. We're going to have a sofa, Nick. There you are. There's a... Hello, Nick. And I'm just going to ask Nick a few little questions, and he's going to share with us. And I've said to anyone who's going to come and talk, I want it to be really honest. I know what we know we can say about prayer. We all know what we should say about prayer. But let's just be honest. Do you want to have a seat, Nick? Let's just be honest about prayer. So first of all, Nick, and this isn't the first question to put on here, but most people will know you because you've been around a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, I've probably been coming, I don't know, about 44 years to this church, and there'll be a few people who've been coming longer than me. that's been that journey from Crooks to Roxy to here, yeah.
So, yeah, fair to say a fair amount of time, which is great. And so just tell us a little bit about yourself, Nick, what you do, just briefly your past, just so people get a bit of context for you.
Okay, so I spent 40 years working in education in the city, taught at Notre Dame School. I used to be the salesman for the Sheffield College, which used to boast about being the biggest college in Europe. I then worked for the local authority promoting vocational education. It's a bit silly when Sheffield Engineering City doesn't have any kids who want to be engineers. So tackling problems and challenges like that. I retired 11 years ago, and I suppose I'm as busy and fulfilled in what I do now as I did in my working life. I've become a bit of a sort of heritage champion. When I retired, what do you do? And it was a bit like thinking, well, what says Sheffield? Steel, cutlery. So I volunteered and helped at Kelham Island Museum one day a week. I'm now on a trustee of a part of that. And I have a small business, which is fun, really. And basically, I buy Sheffield cutlery, bring it back to Sheffield, and then I sell it to people at markets. Week on Saturday, I'll be there at the cathedral. And it's just wonderful chatting about Sheffield to people, and it's very enjoyable.
Great. So most of us will know Nick sometimes when he coordinates at the back, and he's one of our best coordinators. He's one to learn from. He kind of makes sure everything happens properly, which I'm very thankful for. But it's always one of the things that I'm really keen that we do is we consider what it means for us to live out our faith in the everyday. I know people like me who get paid to be at church and to do the stuff, you know, we can talk about ministry and we can talk about other things, but I realize that that's just a small part of what the church is. And we, the church, we're all involved in different stuff in the week, aren't we? And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this, to kind of hear what it means for each one of us, for different people, to live out your faith in everyday life. So first question, Nick, what does prayer look like for you? We'll start with prayer, and then I'll talk about a little bit about what it means for you in your working life.
Yeah, I think it's trying to meet with God every day, and then it's also trying to let God sort of permeate through your life, really. And, I think for me, it's a bit like prayer being an action rather than it being something that's just sort of quiet and sitting down. So every morning I try and sit down with God's word. And it's a quick meet with God's word, actually, I think, partly because I want to get on with everything else I'm going to do in the rest of the day. I'll pray for the people around me. I've got two wonderful kids I've got three wonderful grandkids. I'm an identical twin, which actually Mike just realised recently. And I don't see much of my twin, but he has quite a bit of a tough time. So something about committing the family. Friday morning's always special to me because Friday mornings I go to Food Bank. And that's just a fantastic interface with a world that, doesn't quite exist in Sandygate where I live. And so there's something really special about Friday mornings, just committing that ministry to God. I'm involved in a lot of projects, raising money, generating new ideas, so actually giving them to the Lord as well. I think when you get to my age, I've recently been 70, you've got a fair idea of what you're good at and what you're not good at. So I'd be useless working in a library or a china shop. But if you want me to go out and be enthusiastic about something, so I often thank God, say thank you for the skills you've given me, the skills to generate new ideas, to problem solve, to fundraise, to get involved in heritage. I'm more conscious recently of thinking that place where I live in Crosspool, you know, just can I make any difference in that place where I live? It's fantastic. People have gone out to other parts of the world, but there's something about that little bit where I live. Can I influence that? Can I change it? Can I improve it for those people around me?
Brilliant. And you may have said this a little bit, but with prayer, have you found in your 70 years things that work for you?
Yeah, well, there's something that always works for me. And it might be, if you remember nothing else today, just think Philippians 4:4, okay? Philippians 4, verse 4, and I'm just going to read a bit of God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Interesting there, you're sort of rejoicing, but there's an outward perspective. You know, let your gentleness be evident to all to influence those people around you. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. There will be people this morning who are anxious, but there is that, you know, that word is saying, don't be anxious about anything. Give it to God. He'll take it off you. You know, he's got big, broad shoulders. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So, you know, whenever I'm stuck for a prayer, that's where I go. And I could say that I almost feel like when the Desert Island Discs, they give you the Bible to take, if they said you can only take one page, that's the page I would take. You know, and I just think that's a fantastic thing. And then I suppose when I read this again, put it into practice. What does that mean? When you pass somebody, when you're out, I go out walking a lot in the Peak District and around Rivlin, and you nearly always say hello to people when you see them. We don't do it so much in the town, but I've got Irish roots, and I've recently been to the place where my ancestors came from. And in Ireland, you don't just say hello, because you say hello and they say, how are you doing? And they want a response. So, and you know, it's a bit like this on the Sunday morning. When you see somebody you don't know, go up to them and say, how are you doing? Nobody should ever leave this church on a Sunday morning having not been spoken to by somebody. When you're driving and somebody lets you go past, wave at them, say thank you. Talk to the stranger, thank the bus driver. Just interact with those people around. When somebody gives you good service, just say thank you. I made a choice the other day not to buy something on Amazon, but to go to a local shop to buy it. And I told the person in the local shop I'd bought it, and she thanked me. So I just thought, you know, put things into practice.
Brilliant. And where do you find, or what do you find difficult about prayer?
I suppose I do find making space and time to be quiet, just to stop and actually listen. Sometimes when I get my daily readings out, and it's some, you know, it's something about the Old Testament, and it's a long list of names, and you know, and I sometimes think, what do you do with that? I might just then go back and get the bit of Philippians out and actually work through that, because that always works. My wife doesn't come to church anymore. That's difficult. You know, that's a challenge. I'm away for 60 days a year in the camper van, and that tends to take over life. I mean, it's very relaxing, but I think sometimes I almost forget about consciously praying in that point. I'm not currently in a small group, although the Hallamshire Hotel, you know, every 6 weeks sounds very attractive.
Brilliant. Have you got a story where prayer has worked?
I've got three stories where prayer's worked. Be quite quick, but I was brought up as a Catholic, which meant I definitely went to church every week. More than that, as an altar boy and stuff like that. But what I can remember praying in a Catholic church, well, I think in a Catholic church, or I don't know, it was at home, but just sort of saying, God, there must be more to it than this. Because it was that just sort of notion of, in a Catholic church, you walk in, everybody's quiet, everybody's silent, and you're talking to God, but then you go out and it's all very quiet. And actually, I think over a period of time, God answered that prayer. He brought me to St. Thomas's in Crooks, where everybody was smiling. There was a much more corporate, collective sense. The house I live in, I feel like God delivered it. For 18 months, we were trying to sell a house in Crossbill. Couldn't do it. And we actually sold the house because we had an advert on the church notice board up in Crooks. And my wife went to look at a house, which we didn't want, but opposite, there was actually a bungalow. We'd never thought about having a bungalow, and it was a very good price, and God just gave that to us. And the other one is, there is one person at Food Bank who's constantly on my heart. And a couple of years ago, I sat with this person, and he said to me, I don't see any point in living anymore. And I was about to go on holiday in the camper van for a month, and I went away. And every day, I prayed for that person. And when I came back, he was still alive. And he's still alive. But just, you know, yeah.
That's great, Nick. Thank you. Last question. Tomorrow, this time tomorrow, what are you going to be doing? And what will it look like to be someone seeking to follow Jesus in that place?
Actually, the thing I'm doing tomorrow that's a bit different is at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, I'm meeting up with some of the people who run the city, and I'm going out door knocking with them just to ask people what are the issues for them, what do they want improving. And that sounds really scary, doesn't it? And actually it's not, because generally when you sort of step out and you take a risk, people are generally pretty good to you. There's something in there that says, don't be a bystander in what's happening in the world around you. Roll your sleeves up, get involved. I think there is a real crisis of volunteering in the country at the moment. Lots of organisations are run by people of my age, and the next generation doesn't seem to be coming through. But don't be a bystander. Think about being a glass half full rather than a glass half empty, and just look for those opportunities to get involved, and God will bless you.
Great. Well, let's say thank you to Nick. Thanks, Nick. Thank you. So we're going to pray just for 2 or 3 minutes, and there's a couple of things. I'd love us to pray for Nick. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just for 2 minutes to turn to people around you and pray. I'd love you to pray for Nick, and I would also love you, just let me bring this up, please, to pray for you'll all know about the tragic stabbing that happened in Sheffield, and I think it'd be really appropriate for us to pray for our city, for the shock for our city, particularly for All Saints School where this happened. Some of our youth go to All Saints School. Some of our families in this church have been affected by this. Also, obviously, for the family of Harvey Wilgoose, who was killed, and the person who was involved with the stabbing. So can we just pray, as you feel led, let's just pray for that. Let's pray for, I don't know, if you don't know what words, I sometimes find it hard to know what words to pray in these situations, but just pray that God's will be done. God, you know, if you don't have any other words, his kingdom come. In these situations. And let's pray for Nick and for what he's doing, and just for that thing of let's roll our sleeves up, let's get involved, let's see how we can be used by God to change and bring change. So okay, great, thanks Nick. Let's just do that for 2 minutes, and then we're just going to hear from one other person. And as you draw those prayers to a close, if you could just in the last minute pray for Mark and Anna in Peru and the work of God in Peru and our partnership with them, that'd be great. Father, thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that even when we don't know the words always to say, that just us turning to you is sometimes enough. And so we ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in all of these situations and places and people that we've been praying about, Lord. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Great. Well, let's welcome Rachel, who I called Lucy for some reason earlier on today. I don't know why. You're not Lucy at all. You've always been Rachel. You've never been Lucy, have you? No, never. So welcome, Rachel. She deserves a round of applause as much as anyone else who came up here. And Rachel is just going to come and share her heart for prayer. And as part of what we've been saying about just hearing from different people in the church and what prayer means to them. So, Rachel, over to you.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you. It's been really good just to be here and to share a bit of my heart for prayer. So Mike asked me a little while ago, so I've been like mulling on it and like thinking like, what does God want me to say? And little did I know that this week, this awful tragedy was going to happen. And it's been particularly relevant for me because I was in school at the time, as was my husband and my two children. It's been an emotional week, I think, for all of us. And I just wanted to talk about prayer in the hard times, I guess. So, I've got a slide. What is prayer? And how do you pray at all times in the spirit with prayer and supplication? I thought I'd challenge that one. Look at that one. So when I was a child, my parents took me to Spring Harvest. And if we pop onto the next slide, we had this song that they sang, and it's still in my head. And whenever someone says prayer, I think, prayer is like a telephone for us to talk to Jesus. Prayer is like a telephone for us to talk to God. Sorry, my singing's not great. Anyway, that's what I think about. But it's not. It's so much more. Like, the telephone concept makes you think that, like, God is so far away. And he's not. And also, we get stuck on this, like, talking and listening bit. But I feel like it is so much more. Because prayer for me is communication. Prayer for me is communication. And there's this brilliant quote which I found on the internet about what communication is. So if we pop to the next slide, credit to the Chartered Institute of Payroll Professionals. But it says, in our daily life, communication helps us build our relationships, allowing us to share experiences and needs and to connect to others. It's the essence of life. I love that. It's the essence of life, allowing us to express our feelings, pass on information, share thoughts, and we all need to communicate. It's like this inbuilt need. And I have the best job ever. I am a speech and language therapist, which means I specialize in communication. And I get to work with the most beautiful young people that there are. I work into special educational needs schools, mainly secondary, on the whole. And they're in there because they've got a learning disability, and that often leads to a communication difficulty. It's hard for them to communicate with most other people. They might be non-speaking, they might be speaking, but usually there is some form of breakdown and it can be really tricky for them. And I have the really privileged position of going in and seeing them and meeting them and spending time with them, working out, like, what is their form of communication? How do they communicate? How can we help them to communicate more effectively? And then I get to, like, spend time with the parents and the teachers and just say, hey, do you know what? This might really work. This might really help you to build that connection with your child or with your young person. Because that is what God is after with communication with us. He is about connection. He is about seeing that glimmer of gold in our hearts, and he loves it. And one of the things that I do is called intensive interaction. And it might sound a bit strange, but I mean, it is such a breakthrough, amazing therapy. And so you'd go and you'd be close to the young person, but you get down at their level. And you generally pick up on their feedback how close they want you. Sometimes they want you quite close, sometimes they want a bit of a distance. And you just do what they're doing. You don't interfere with them. You don't try and do anything to them to try and get them to see you. You just do what they're doing. And as you do what they're doing, they're suddenly interested in you. Who is this person who's interested in what I'm doing? And they will, like, be intrigued, and they will look over, and it becomes a different experience for them, because mainly communication for them is someone getting them to do something. They need to go to the dining hall for dinner. They need to go to the bathroom. It's break time. This is the next activity. Often they're moved into different directions and different places. But with intensive interaction, you're not asking them anything, but you're intriguing them. And by doing this on a regular basis, you, like, build trust and you build relationship. And I think that's often what prayer is about. It's building trust and it's building relationship with God. And why am I telling you all this? I guess because this week I was locked in a room for 2.5 hours by myself, knowing that my children, my godchildren, and my friend's children and my husband were in a building where there was a major incident happening, and I did not know what was going on. I would get random snippets of information, but it was quite a scary, lonely place to be, and it was really hard. And I did not know how to pray. I didn't have any words. I had that song, you know, the angels cry out, that was going through my mind. Holy, holy God. But other than that, I had not got the words. And I sat there, and I let the waves of emotion come over me. I'm quite an emotional person. So there was some sobbing in that moment and through the week. And I just knew his presence close. He was with me. He was there. And his communication was, I'm sitting with you in this. I feel what you're feeling in this. It's breaking my heart too. And so I guess prayer, it didn't look like a conversation, but we were both there together in it. it was a beautiful moment where I knew his heart and he knew my heart. So if we like move to the last slide. There's this really beautiful verse from John 10, 14 to 15. And Jesus says, "For I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I believe we were created to be in relationship, to communicate with him, to be known and to know him." And for me, prayer, sometimes it's using my words and sometimes it's listening to what he's saying and being obedient. But sometimes it's just sitting in the pain together. So, I want you to know that God wants to draw alongside you. He wants to hear and know you. He doesn't want to move you or do things to you. He just wants to love you, and he wants connection and trust with you. So yeah, that's my experience of prayer. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Rachel. Do be praying for the people you hear. Hopefully, as we share stuff together and we share honestly, we'll help each other make those little steps. And that's the you know, what the disciples asked Jesus. We said this earlier on in the series. They didn't ask him for anything else. The only thing they asked him for was teach us how to pray. So we're just doing the same. We're saying to Jesus, teach us how to pray. We want to pray better. Would you teach us? And he does that through us. Jesus teaches us through each other. So hopefully there'll be a little bit of that this morning. We're going to sing, and then we're going to have a final blessing. If you are a parent of children that need picking up, please could you go and do that now as we sing this song. Whilst the band are just getting ready, prayer, I mentioned this in the letter I sent out. As a staff, we are committed to praying from 8:30 till 9:30 every morning, Monday to Thursday. Some of us are there in dribs and drabs from 8:30 till 9:00, but definitely from 9:00 we're there, 9:00 to 9:30. I know for most people you can't come at that time, but if any of you are free at that time, we'd love you to join us in prayer. We're just going through the Psalms, and we're using the Psalms to help us to pray. So please do join us. And the other thing to say is that the evening service at the moment, we're meeting up in the prayer room, and we're just using it as a time of worship and using the stations in the prayer room and pressing into prayer. So if you're free on a Sunday evening, I always get it, 7:30, isn't it?
Seven.
Just checking. I knew, really. 7:00. Do come and join us for some worship and prayer. I'd love to see you there. And it's a very informal. We all lead each other, and we can use the stations. But I'd love to see you there as well. So we'll be doing that this evening. Great. Let's stand together and let's worship.